Hey, and welcome back to Tales from the Tomb, episode 14.
14? Already?
Yeah, it's already 14. We just did 13.
I guess 14 would be next.
Yeah, this is our second show back. And again, we're not going to do any ufology this week.
Say it ain't so.
No, we're not. Although...
we're going to get to it.
Although, on Halloween, and somebody thinks it's intentional because it'll kind of go unnoticed, the different agencies have to present their UAP findings to Congress.
Oh, yeah?
Well, or they have to publish them, I think, on they either have to publish them or present them to Congress. So that's going to be interesting.
Halloween?
On Halloween Day.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a Tuesday this year, so that makes sense.
Right. So, I mean, anything we get is going to be redacted anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Redacted.
Yeah. So, but that's all I got on that. But, anything else going on this week, Sean?
No aliens today.
No aliens today.
I think today is something about, today's episode is something about, creatures in the water.
Yeah, this, we're going to do a cryptozoology episode. And this is, again, we try to really try to stay up on, current topics, and there's been some new developments in our friend Champy over in Lake Champlain.
Yes, Champ. According to, apparently this is from September 10th, so this is recent.
Yeah, but let's not talk about that yet.
Okay.
Let's not talk about what just happened. Let's tell people about Champ first.
Okay, who's Champ? I like his name, for one thing.
Champ or Champy is the Lake Champlain lake monster.
Okay.
And he's known kind of as the Loch Ness Monster of the United States.
All right.
And
so is it like a dinosaur thing? Is it more of a fish thing? Is it like a humanoid thing? What is it?
Well, it's definitely not humanoid.
Well, you never
because
know.
He's like a lake monster.
Okay.
He's like a serpentine, is what he's been described as. But Lake Champlain is the Adirondacks. Woo!
How do you say that again?
Adirondacks' largest lake. And so there's a lot of things that go on there. There's boating and fishing, and lake monsters.
All right.
So
Katie Elizabeth is the one.
No. We're not going to get to that yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we're going to talk about Lake Champlain
first.
You're
guiding this boat.
Yeah, no, well, you don't want me driving any boats, but, Lake Champlain is a 125 mile long body of fresh water that's shared by New York and Vermont.
Okay.
And a portion of it actually goes into Quebec, Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And over the years, you know that there's been over 300 sightings of this guy.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, there has. Now, of course, not all of them have been, verified, or a lot of them have been proven false.
Mm-hmm.
But the original story is can be traced back to the Iroquois Indians and to French cartographer Samuel de Champlain. Now, he's the founder of Quebec and the name and what, you know, who they named the
lake. I guess who they named the lake after.
Right, yeah, yeah. You're, as usual, Sean,
how did I figure that out?
Your processes
foot.
Of deduction are
quick
amazing. I know. That's why we love you.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, supposedly he's purported to be the first person to ever have sighted Champ in 1609.
Well, isn't he a quick one?
Yeah. Now, they attributed the fact that he described the lake monster and everything, and he has this big long quote about what he said about him, but there's like a lot of people that said, you know, he never said that.
Now, do you think this is the same monster, or what we're seeing today is descendants of that monster?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, and we can debate that later on after after we get to what he looks like. But evidently, he's a sea serpent, you know, very similar to what you would imagine is what people describe.
I mean, because if it's related to, like, turtles, it could be the same creature. Because they live a long time.
Well, nobody has suspected that it's turtle, Sean, but you might be onto something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a serpentine shape.
Throw some pizza out there, see what happens.
Well, that would be only if somebody had dumped something toxic into Lake Champlain.
I'm sure it's happened. It's connected to New York.
Not in 1609, I don't think.
Okay.
But anyway, Champlain is alleged to have said that he is a 20-foot serpent, thick as a barrel, and with a head like a horse.
That's a big SOB.
Yeah. But you know, a lot of people don't think that he really said that. I don't know.
They're just guessing. They don't know. He didn't write it. They didn't record it.
Now, he did record that there is a great, and this is a quote, there's a great abundance of many species of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Among there's one called by the natives Charusaru, which they described to be different lengths long.
Are there any sturgeon out there, like in San Pablo Bay?
Yeah, we're gonna get to the sturgeon in a minute. Why do you spoiler everything?
I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants.
Yeah,
I
don't know where you're going. There happened to be sturgeon, yes, in Lake Champlain. Among other large fish.
All right.
But and he is said to have said, "I have seen some 5 feet long, which is big as my thigh, and his head as large as my two fists," which is a weird unit of measurement.
Okay.
"With a snout 2 feet long, 2 feet and a half long, a double row of very sharp, dangerous teeth, and a body has a good deal the shape of a pike."
You know, we have creatures like that out here.
Well, yeah, but it's not a mammal, Sean. No. It's a sea serpent.
Right.
Stay on task here. Let me finish what the guy supposedly said that they don't think he really said, okay?
Proceed.
Okay. "But it's protected by scales of a silvery gray color and so strong that a dagger could not pierce them." Okay. Now, before I move on, there's another guy supposedly that said that he saw them.
No, what I was saying is,
yeah,
what you're describing is much like a creature that's common to our parts of the world.
Yeah, but we're not getting to that yet.
Okay.
Right, I know what you're thinking, but yeah, we're not going to get to that yet. I have to tell you the history of Champ here.
Do you know what I'm thinking?
I'm trying to let... See, as usual, I'm trying to set up a visual and a background for our listeners, and you are just jumping all over the place as usual. Okay. So anyway, no, you need to hear this out.
I'm because just
there's
listen.
A Okay, well, that's probably good. So there's another guy that said that he saw Champ. And in 1883, Sheriff Nathan H. Mooney claimed that he had seen a water serpent about 110 yards in length from where he was on the shore. Now, is he a relative of yours?
I don't know, but you purposely did not tell me that.
I purposely did. Well, you know, if you had read up on this, you would know by now. But, yeah, so Mooney...
I read up on the story of the recent event. Yes, you go down rabbit
holes. He evidently was, like, really close to the guy. He said he saw him from the shore, but he also said he had white spots inside of his mouth.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how you could see that from the shore, but...
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
That's what Sheriff Nathan H. Mooney and people, you know, they accepted him as a sheriff, so I guess he knows he's talking about.
If he's a Mooney, he probably knows what he's talking about. Or he's good at, you know,
yeah, the exactly. Art of BS. Right, but anyway, he said that the creature appeared to be 25 to 30 feet in length.
Alrighty.
So after Mooney came out, he said, oh, then all other people were saying, well, wait a second. If the sheriff saw him, I saw him too, and these are my stories. So after the sheriff kind of like told his story, then everybody else told their stories.
Okay.
Some similar to your big fish stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there's somebody else that said, oh, well, you know, if you can catch him, I would love to pay you money
to put him
in my circus. And do you know who that was?
P.T. Barnum.
It was P.T. Barnum.
Hey, I got it.
The you team. Got one.
I get another
He
beer.
Was so interested in the legend of Champ that in 1873 and 1887, he offered a reward of $50,000 for anyone who could bring in the monsters.
That's a lot of money back then.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. That's like got to be like at least like $1 million or something. Like, that's a lot of money. So P.T. Barnum was so interested. So this is how far the story of Champ went. So first you have... Samuel de Champlain said he saw him in 1609. And then in 1883, this Sheriff Nathan H. Mooney said he saw him. But then everybody...
That's a long time later.
Yeah, it was a long time
That's
later.
It's like over like 250 years or something.
Well, there's been 300 reporting sightings. So, since, you know, it's sprinkled. Okay.
Since when? Since the 1600s?
Yes, since 1609.
Okay.
So anyway, although, you know, like I said, a lot of people don't know if the story of Samuel de Champlain, if that's a reliable quote or what, but anyway, in 1883, after the sheriff came out and said he saw him, then all kinds of people started saying, well, I've had my own sightings too. And since then, Lake Champlain has had a big tourist attraction to come out and see if you could spot Champ.
Of course. I'm sure there's people out there selling t-shirts and everything.
Well, I'm sure, and who wouldn't want a Champ t-shirt?
Mm-hmm.
I bet he's cute.
I'm sure he is.
But anyway, so lots of debunked sightings since then. And before we move on to what people think he might be and to the new developments, I do want to play a song.
You're going to play a song now?
Yeah,
hey, I do want to play a song. That's what we're here to do.
So anyway.
Tell me about the first one.
Well, this song is by a band called The Tomb Tones. Now, they're also going to be on the Horror Punk's Not Dead comp that we're going to be on coming out the 21st of this month.
Buy it. Go buy that.
I love this band. I've been wanting to play this band since the very beginning, mm-hmm. but I haven't found a good time to play them until now. They are a lot of fun. They're from Atlanta, Georgia. And they say, straight out of their graves, the Tomb Tones will trick-or-treat your ears to a witch's brew of hokey horror references, infectious hooks, and spooky storytelling that's oozing with Halloween punk rock sweetness.
Now, I listened to the song earlier. It's a great one. It makes me want to go have a campfire on the beach.
Right? And so I love that description of the band. Now, in 2020, they released their album Pumpkin Guts, not to be confused with the band we played last week, called Pumpkin Guts from Kentucky. But their album is Pumpkin Guts season. It is Pumpkin Guts season. But they released it on Batcave Records. And this is their single, Party of Horror Beach. And like I said, it's amazing off their Pumpkin Guts album that they released in 2020. And they're going to be on the comp with us October 21st, which you can pick up from Horror Punks Not Dead.
Pumpkin Guts.
So anyway, without further ado, this song is Party of Horror Beach by the Tomb Tones from Georgia. Georgia? Yeah.
I've never heard of Tomb Tones
from Georgia.
is that like where Jar Jar's from? Jar Jar?
No, I don't think there's a Jar Jar Binks in Georgia. I could be wrong. But anyway, Party of Horror Beach by the Tomb Tones.
Here we go.
In the sand with his GTO late at night, out on the sand under the stars to a rockin' band. There will be dancing, monsters romancing down at the party of Horror Beach. Don't be too scared, try to have some fun. Leatherface is watching all the head. From the Black Lagoon late at night, out on the sand, under the stars, to a rockin' band. There will be dancing, monsters romancing, down at the party of Horror
Right, so that was the Tomb Tones with their song Party of Horror Beach off their 2020 album Pumpkin Guts, released on Batcave Records. You can find that on Bandcamp. Please go buy it because the whole album is good.
That's what we're doing here, is try to showcase some new music.
Yep.
And talk about some fun stuff.
Right, so that was fun. So I want to have a party on Horror Beach, which I'm not sure is Lake Champlain because, you know, nice the monster doesn't actually come out.
Nice campfire, ice chest full of beer or whatever, you know.
I don't know that you can have campfires on Lake Champlain.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I didn't look that up. But you can...
I'm just talking about any beach in general.
Oh, okay.
To listen to the Tomb Tones.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, we have a few things to talk about before we go to the beach.
Uh-oh.
We have to come back to our what's happened recently and in modern day. So, they have a current Lake Champlain monster expert is Katie Elizabeth, a cryptozoologist,
okay,
who I like a whole lot. Yeah. I've been following her And she seems to be really, really awesome.
She's doing some awesome work.
Yeah, she's been tracking this beast for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's very, she's very passionate about it. And I love that. Now, in a new development, and this just happened last week, or it was released last week, so she captured some sonar footage on the 10th of September.
Yeah, this video is wild.
Well, I guess that wasn't last week, but that was last month.
Yeah, well,
but it was released last week. It was recently, yeah.
Within the past month.
Yeah.
For us.
And it appears to be a creature that is about 20 feet long.
Yeah, and if you, definitely go check out the video. They have a little circle where they can show you what looks like it could be a dorsal fin and everything.
It's really, really cool.
Shows you how deep down it is, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you can see it moving at about 42 feet down.
It's not just a piece of driftwood.
No, and it looks like it's using its fin to push itself along.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Now, she also, before we get into it, though, and I know that you're really excited to talk about sturgeon, but before we get into that, she compared the footage already to sturgeon and a small whale. And so she highlights the difference between the movements of the fish.
Okay. That's pretty brilliant.
Yeah. Now, she's captured sonar images before, but this is a whole new ball game. This sonar image is really, really impressive. So you guys can go online and look at that. I got this article from the LAD Bible. So they've got the videos up that she's taken.
Yeah, it's a wild video. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. And they've been searching for proof for years. And she's got a good dedicated team of supporters that are part of a CHAMP group. So that are watching for CHAMP and hoping to discover him.
Yeah, apparently Tim Banal, who is the web news editor of Coast to Coast, says that Kate's boat is totally outfitted with all this rad equipment to find the mythical beast.
Yeah, absolutely. The name of her boat is the Kelpie 2.
That's rad.
Yeah, and I think I had some information about what she was using. Oh, yeah. She uses a Raymarine Dragonfly 4 Pro sonar. It's a chirp sonar that shoots chirps to the bottom as well as the sides.
It's kind of like bats in the water.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's been sonar mapping.
Works or how that works, but, you know, I'm sure it's not your basic, like, old school hummingbird.
Right, and even it turns out even if her boat is moving at a good clip, it's still very reliable sonar.
Well, that's cool.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about that. So anyway, Katie resides on the shore of Lake Champlain in Vermont.
Nice.
And in 2018, I love this, she was honored with an official world record as the only full-time dedicated woman lake monster hunter in the world.
Nice.
Yeah. She also approached the town of Port Henry, New York, which is known as the home of CHAMP, with a written resolution to protect CHAMP. And in 2018, this law was passed. So if CHAMP is CHAMP is found, then they have promised to protect him and not harm him. It's
illegal to harm him or kill him, yes. Total catch and release. I like that.
Yeah. And this comes from her Facebook page. I read this. And it's a great quote from Katie Elizabeth. And it says, when anyone didn't believe in me or sometimes my work with CHAMP, I said, just watch me. I kept on pushing through the waves of Champlain, through 100-degree heat, hundreds of hours keeping watch until my eyes watered. It paid off. Now on the verge of proving the species' existence to science and national protection, I am so very close, so glad I did not tire, especially this year. Lo and behold, an amazing sonar video for 2022.
That's badass.
Great things are ahead. Don't you love her?
Yes, absolutely.
I want her to find
it. Persistence paid off.
Yeah.
Persistence pays off.
And I think that's inspiring to all of us.
I hope she finds them again.
I hope so, too. I hope that we're on the verge of the discovery of something really, really awesome. And I will say this. Even if it's not something that is a something new, and again, she is testing for DNA and all that.
Of course.
Even if it's something we haven't seen before, something on this scale,
right,
is huge.
Right,
is huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm really, really excited about that. Now there are a few theories of what else it may be if it's not, you know, technically a lake monster. And I know that you have been waiting to talk about this.
I'm not waiting. I'm just, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know? So there are a few things that it might be.
One thing, if it is a sturgeon, I guess the way you'd find out, you go out there with some taco-flavored Doritos with your dad and Daryl when you're a little pup, and, you know, then you go to try to catch it. I wonder who's going to catch that reference.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that reference.
Oh, that's a Les Claypool reference. His trilogy for fishing on with sturgeon, for sturgeon.
I did not know that.
I'm sure there's people out there that do, but yes.
Yeah, anyway. Well, also, another thing is Lake Champlain has long-nosed gar.
Yeah. We know all about gar.
Yeah, we do. We do. Louisiana, and we'll talk about Louisiana gar in a little bit, because I found out a lot about Louisiana gar that I didn't previously know. There were a lot of misconceptions that I had.
Well, there's no season for them. You can hunt them and kill them anytime you want because they're everywhere.
No. Up to a point.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But we're going to get to the Louisiana gar in a minute.
Okay.
But Lake Champlain does contain long nose gar.
Yeah, and gars are basically, they're basically dinosaurs.
But here's the thing. I did look this up, and the biggest gar ever caught in Lake Champlain was caught, and it was 14 pounds, 10 ounces.
Wow.
Yeah, but so whatever she's seeing is not 14 pounds, 10 ounces.
No, it's a lot bigger than that.
Yeah, but some long-nosed gar can reach a maximum size of 6.5 feet long.
Right. In fact, there's not only in Louisiana, but in Florida, too. There's actually some recent photos from now that the floodwaters have receded from the recent hurricane out there.
Mm-hmm.
They find, you know, these big giant garfish wrapped up in people's fence lines and stuff.
Yeah, you know? The world record catch was in 2011, and the gar was 8.5 feet long. It weighed 327 pounds.
That's a lot of gar balls.
And was estimated to be 94 years old.
Wow.
So they are, you saw it as a sport fish, and they can be used for food.
Yes. Now, I've never had gar. It's not something people generally eat, but I have heard of what they, what's probably, you know, some people we know down the bayou, you know, you catch a gar and what they call them gar balls, you know, because it's basically this tank of a fish with armor, you know, and sharp teeth, and it's dangerous, you know. But from what I understand is they, you know, once they get the armor off and all that, they basically, you know, shred it, kind of like shredded pork type deal, you know, and make these little balls and bread it and fry it up like that. I've never had it. I've always been curious about it, but it's not something you can just go out and get.
Well, you can't. I think you have to kind of make it yourself. And yeah. I think the reason that they suggest people eat gar balls first is because the skin of the gar is like chain link armor.
Yeah, it's armor.
It's really hard to get. I mean, it can, it, you know, it's like really hard to cut into.
Like if anybody's dealt with a catfish is not easy to clean and process. But a garfish is on a whole other level, and if the fish is alive at any at some point, it can really do you some damage.
Right. And did you know that Louisiana is home to 4 of the 5 gar species?
I believe that.
Yeah, there's long nose, needle nose, or long nose or needle nose, short nose, and alligator spotted.
Yeah, we've seen them out. We dealt with them when we're out fishing. You know, a garfish will totally just eat your bait, and you won't even know it.
Yeah, and so alligator gar, a lot of what we recognize, it's got a long snout, and it's got 2 rows of teeth, and it's got these really hard diamond-shaped scales.
It's a freaking dinosaur of the sea, or of the water.
Now, the average adult can be 100 to 150 pounds and 4 to 6 feet long. They can grow to more than 300 pounds and 10 feet long. Nice. Now, here's the thing. They are edible. Excuse me. They're edible. People do eat them. But the eggs are toxic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Like the roe?
Yes. Okay. You do not eat that. That's very, it is very toxic.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So gar flesh, you can eat it, but I think they're hard to clean. They're hard to get in the body. Now, something else that I heard was that gar will bite you.
Yes.
That's never happened.
No.
There's never been a gar bite.
Wrong.
Who did a gar bite? Tell me your fishtail.
Not my fishtail, but what's the guy's name? It's not Bear Grylls, but the other one?
I don't know.
One of the survivalist guys, but I saw the episode. He went to Florida to hunt for garfish. It was in Texas. It was like in Galveston, Texas. And he caught a gar. He brought it in the boat, and that thing, because it wasn't dead yet, it was totally alive, flopping around the boat. It totally snagged him. It totally drew blood on him.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. Y'all research that, but I don't think I don't think the gar bite people. I saw the episode.
They totally bite people.
Well, if, in that episode, maybe for TV.
No. If you catch, okay, I've seen it. You pull a gar into your boat. It's gonna be flopping around. It's razor sharp teeth.
Yeah, you're gonna scratch yourself on them. Maybe
no, not scratch yourself. It's gonna take a chunk out of you.
Yeah, I don't think gar bite. I think you're wrong about that.
I'm absolutely.
You guys look that up and see if gar bite.
You talk to our swamp buddies that we know.
They will tell you.
They will tell you. No, you pull up a gar that's alive in the boat, and it's gonna be dangerous.
Okay, I think you're wrong, but I think people are dangerous.
No.
But anyway.
Razor sharp teeth, 3 feet long, and a snout is dangerous.
And they don't. But they're not going to come out of the water. They're not aggressive. They're not going to
attack you. I'm talking about if you catch a gar, because people do go gar fishing.
I don't think there's ever been a report of a gar bite.
There's a specific way to catch gar. And if you catch a gar and you pull it in the boat and it's alive, it will try to bite your arm off.
I think you're wrong.
I'm not.
Yeah, you are. We're going to find out after
you
this episode.
You are going to sound like
we're
a silly goose.
No, it's you. As
really?
Usual. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. So
How many swamp adventures have you been
on? You were also wrong. Number one, you can eat them. Number two, people eat them. Yeah. Number three, they're not going to bite you.
Wrong. They will totally bite you.
No, but anyway.
If you catch them and pull them in your boat, they will bite you.
Number four, you're wrong about the conservation efforts of gar. So, the AGFC created a statewide bag limit of one a day under 36 inches
and
long.
Where is this? What state?
I believe it's Louisiana.
You believe it's Louisiana.
Yeah. Okay. And any gar longer than 36 inches must be immediately released. And on top of that, they're not invasive. They're not invasive species.
Not sure about that.
I'm pretty sure about that.
I know people that go
because they're prehistoric.
Fishing for them.
They're prehistoric, Sean.
Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, you guys find out if a gar is going
to
bite you.
That's your story and you're sticking to it, but meanwhile, that has nothing to do with a champ.
No, well, it doesn't have anything to do with champ, except for the fact the gar would get really big, and Lake Champlain does have gar in it.
Garfish wants to be like champ, but they can't be like champ.
No, they can't be like champ, because
champ
rules. Champ
is its own creature.
So, yeah, champ is hopefully his own creature, and mm-hmm. I would love that. All right, so something else, sturgeon. We'll go back to the sturgeon. A lot of people believe that it might be a sturgeon.
Okay. It'd be a really big sturgeon.
Exactly. Now,
it could be the old diamondback sturgeon.
But sturgeons have existed as long as 200 million years ago.
That's true.
A lot of them
in San Pablo Bay.
So, the lake sturgeon, they're widely distributed in North America and the only sturgeon species native to Vermont.
Okay.
Lake sturgeon in Vermont are confined to Lake Champlain, and they are the largest and longest living fish found in the state. Lake sturgeon can reach 150 years of age and weigh up to 310 pounds.
That's a long life and a fat boy.
Now, the biggest one that they found in Lake Champlain was found in a tributary and was 5.5 feet long. Mm-hmm. And in 2017, a male sturgeon they remeasured it, and it tipped the scale at 78 pounds and had a length of 67.5 inches.
That's like as big as our shepherd. That's as big as Dunkel.
Yes. Yeah, it's probably a little bit bigger than our German shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike gar, you can eat the caviar of a sturgeon.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you can't eat the roe of a gar.
Yeah. So anyway, whatever it is, gar, sturgeon... We don't really know. But what I do know is that we have another song.
We need to, hopefully Miss Katie will find some more information about that and share it, because I definitely would love to hear of a discovery of a North American Loch Ness type monster.
Yeah, I would too. So, all right, well, we have our next song, and I need...
Trap Hill Collision is the name of the band, right?
Yeah.
Watch the Skies is the album, and I think
yeah,
the track
they're a thrash
Black...
metal and hardcore fueled horror punk band from the
Black
Blue...
Lagoon. Another tune about water.
Well, they're from Winchester, Virginia.
Okay,
and their single Black Lagoon is off their brand new album Watch the Skies, which came out in September 2022.
Nice.
I've never heard of this band before,
yeah,
and I
really
absolutely
good.
Love
glad,
them.
This whole like the whole point we're doing this podcast is just. You know, try and discover new bands, and because so, we're discovering all those bands and trying to share them with people. So you share these bands with other people, you know, just share the bands, share the Bandcamp, you know.
Yeah, you can find
bands.
The song on Bandcamp. It's from their brand new album, Watch the Skies, which came out in September of 2022, and it is called
Black Lagoon.
Is it called Black Lagoon?
Yeah, it looks like the name of the album is Watch the Skies, and the track is Black Lagoon.
Black Lagoon. So this song is called Black Lagoon from Trap Hill Collision.
Nice, let's check it out.
Winchester, Virginia.
Yep.
And that was their single Black Lagoon off their brand new album, which just came out, called Watch the Skies.
Yes, go check it out. Go buy their stuff, please.
Yes, Bandcamp.
It's not that expensive.
We're going to post a link so you can go buy their stuff.
Yeah, just download it and support the bands.
Sean, do you know what a lagoon is?
A lagoon?
Yeah.
I know what the creature from the Black Lagoon is.
Yeah, but do you know what a lagoon is?
Yeah, it's like a stagnant body of water.
Lagoons are a stretch of salt water separated from the sea by a low sandbank or coral reef. Coral reef. Do you know if Louisiana has any lagoons?
I'm sure we do.
In City Park?
That's where the creature from City Park lives.
Right, and there are
We'll have to showcase that as well.
Yes. Our City Park lagoons are predominantly man-made. And it's small. We have a lagoon system with only 110 acres of water.
Yeah.
But it has 14 miles of shoreline,
yeah,
which doesn't include Bayou St. John, which also falls under the park's jurisdiction. But the lagoon system doesn't technically include that. And it's accessible to fishermen.
That's true.
Do you know what you can catch in the lagoon?
I know you can catch a lot. You can catch the creature from the Black Lagoon if you're smart, but you probably won't because that would be me.
You can catch a delicious bass.
Delicious bass.
So it is accessible to fishermen. I don't know what the rules are. But anyway, that's the lagoons here in Louisiana, or only in New Orleans, or only in City Park.
City Park, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yep. And I think that's it for the week.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what did we make it at? 35 minutes. Okay, we're still trying to whittle down to 30.
Yeah.
Around that time, instead of an hour. We have to stop to have an argument.
We don't want
to
chit-chat over too long, but yeah, we're always going to argue a little bit.
Yeah. That's what we do. So, we don't know what's in Lake Champlain. We're very excited for cryptozoology, and I really hope that they find something, because regardless, it's exciting, because anytime that you find something new, we learn more about the world we live in, and the, you know, the habitat around us, and I think that's super exciting.
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, I hope Miss Katie Elizabeth finds some more footage of this creature. I would love to see it and hear about it.
Yep, me too. So we'll follow this story and let you guys know. We're going to be back next week. We've got a few interesting stories that we're going to talk about next week.
We've got a few things lined up. We're going to decide on what we're going to do. We're trying to do a story a week at this point.
Yeah. We haven't landed on anything definitely, but I definitely want to talk about what the CIA is up to.
The CIA. Oh, yeah.
That's yeah, no, it's trust me, y'all, it's bananas. You're going to want to tune in next week, because I didn't even believe it. I had to cross-reference the story a few times, because what our government's up to is always insane and crazy. So anyway, we'll get to that next week, and we love you guys, and we'll see you then.
See you then. Bye.
And one more thing I did want to talk about was, we want to give a shout out to Neil Jones of Without Your Head for hosting us, because we wouldn't have done this without him and his constant support. And we really, really appreciate everything Without Your Head.
Exactly.
Yeah, this
was his idea.
He is just the best interviewer of all things horror and wrestling, and always interesting and always on top of things.
Without Your Head, go check it out.
Yep, Without Your Head, go check it out. And Sean, you need to mention Benny Grunge.
Yeah, we didn't showcase it. Maybe we'll showcase it on another episode. But Benny Grunge and his song "The Creature from the City Park Lagoon."
Yeah,
Benny Grunge is a New Orleans icon. So maybe we'll showcase him on another episode about water. But there's a great video about, you know, him singing about, you know, the creature from the City Park Lagoon.
You got to play the creature.
Yeah, it's me playing the part of the creature in the video. So if you go to YouTube, you can check that out. Benny Grunge and the City Park Lagoon. Creature from the City Park Lagoon. Fun little tune. Fun little New Orleans icon.
Not Champ.
Not Champ.
No. We're going to follow Champ, though, and then we'll play the Benny Grunge song the next time.
Yeah, we'll save that for another episode.
Yes, and we love you guys. And again, I know we say goodbye again, but we'll say goodbye again, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye again.
Bye again.